Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, friends, could there be a more influential, substantive weekend than what we had this past weekend? And of course, unless you've had your head in the sand somewhere, you are keenly aware of what took place on Friday evening. And I'm just going to set this segment up and really the rest of the program with this statement. I was preaching morning and evening all last week. That's why I was not on the program. And when I got out of the service where I was on Friday evening, my phone was going crazy with texts coming in saying, "Have you heard the latest bombshells on the part of Trump and Hillary Clinton?" I had no clue what was going on. I tried to get up to speed quickly. When I was able to drive about 25 minutes from where I was speaking to my home and find out a little bit about what was going on, I was, of course, stunned, shocked, dismayed. A lot of other words I could use to describe my feelings that evening with Donald Trump and with Hillary Clinton with respect to what took place and what both did that was revealed on Friday. But then again, of course, last evening we had the second presidential debate. And so, friends, I want you to know where we're going to go today is this. We're going to be talking about Trump's comments from 2005. We're not going to try to in any way gloss over that. We're going to talk about it very, very candidly, and we're going to try to provide some direction, some spiritual direction, some advice for the pathway ahead for those who have already struggled to vote for Donald Trump and may be struggling even more right now. Is he disqualified because of what he said back in 2005? Should he step aside? I mean, what does all of this mean? And then we're going to get into an analysis of the debate last evening in segments 3 and 4. So, gentlemen, welcome to the program. Sam Rohr is aboard. Gary Dahl is aboard. It's great to have the entire team here. Gentlemen, I want to read some comments that came from religious leaders across the country after this revelation of these incredibly, incredibly inappropriate comments made by Donald Trump back in 2005. Ralph Reed, conservative Christian activist and head of Trump's religious advisory board, said, as a father of two daughters, he was disappointed by the quote-unquote inappropriate comments. Ralph Reed went on and said this, but people of faith are voting on issues like who will protect unborn life, defend religious freedom, grow the economy, appoint conservative justices, and oppose the Iranian nuclear deal. He said, corrupt Hillary Clinton has used her office in a corrupt fashion to raise funds from foreign governments and corporations, and her reckless and irresponsible handling of classified material on her homebrew server endangered U.S. national security. And he believes that will drive the evangelical vote more than what Donald Trump said. He went on and concluded with this comment, I think a 10-year-old tape of a private conversation with a TV talk host ranks pretty low on the hierarchy of evangelical voters' concerns and even the American electorate's concerns. Let me read this. Franklin Graham, phenomenal statement. Dr. Franklin Graham said the crude comments made by Donald J. Trump more than 11 years ago cannot be defended. But the godless progressive agenda of Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton likewise cannot be defended. He said the most important issue of this election is the Supreme Court. And then I want to read one last statement from Pastor Robert Jeffries, First Baptist Church of Dallas, who is also on Trump's Faith Advisory Council. He said he believes, quote, that Trump is still the best candidate to reverse the downward spiral the nation is in. While the comments are lewd, offensive, and indefensible, they are not enough to make me vote for Hillary Clinton. He said he would, quote, not necessarily choose Donald Trump to be a Sunday school teacher, but he still supports Trump. And then, gentlemen, I think this is perhaps one of the most pivotal statements made by these religious leaders or anybody for that matter. And this is again by Pastor Robert Jeffress, quote, to say Trump's comments disqualify him from being president assumes that Hillary Clinton and by extension her husband Bill, they are both more moral than Donald. Men, these statements again are from some of the most prominent national religious leaders. Sam, let me go to you. What do you think about those statements? Agree, disagree, additional comments?
Well, Dave, it's going to take more than a few moments here. That's what we're going to need this program to answer this. But I would say this, and I'm going to reference and agree with you and what these leaders said. Number one, no one can support and or defend the statements by Donald Trump. So you said that. I'm stating it again. They are not defensible. Now, I know that there are many folks I've talked with who said, but if you say that you, us, or anyone says his comments were not appropriate, not right, they were wrong, they were harmful, and then you associate a but something else is not as bad, that therefore that is a problem in people's thinking too. Dave, I want to say that I believe in this regard, we have to say the statements were wrong, period. But I'm going to go to this next piece and say, all right, once established, and that is established, now what is the voter reaction now? What's the choice? What's the Christian voter's action now? Meaning this, is that then a reason that we say, I'm not going to vote for Trump-Pence ticket? Does that mean that I'm not going to vote at all? Or does that mean I'm going to vote for Hillary? Now, in reality, Dave, I think we need to discuss this. In reality, I don't think good people are going to vote for Hillary. But what I do see happening is a cynicism that has arisen. There were people say, I'm just fed up. I'm not even going to vote. Dave, that, I believe, is a critical issue, and we can come back on it. I want Gary to have a talk a little bit here as well. But I want to raise that right now and go right to the quick. Regardless of what was said or what was done, every person is going to have to come up with a decision. Am I going to vote because there's no one who is acceptable? Because there is no difference? And if I do vote for a Trump-Pence ticket as a believer, does that mean that I am minimizing sinful statements? Does that mean that I am embracing that which is wrong? Dave, I'll say it does not mean that, but I think we have to answer that question as we go forward.
Sam, I think that is a great way to frame this discussion. Gary, I'm going to come to you in just a second, but I want to say this. The old adage, if a tree falls in the woods and there's nobody there to hear it, does that mean the tree didn't actually fall? Well, of course, it does not mean that. And my point is simply this. Gary, you know this. Sam, you know this. Sam, you have been in government. Gary, you have been around elected officials, as have I. You know this to be the case. There are conversations. And again, this is no justification for what Donald Trump said. This is not my point. My point is simply this. There have been conversations, statements made by politicians in back rooms, in locker rooms, and in other places that if that ever came to the light of day, people would be beyond disappointed with them. And I could name names of people that I know have made those comments because they've been relayed to me. I'm talking about prominent presidential candidates and people that have served as president of the United States. It happens that Donald Trump's were captured, and it's unfortunate that he said it. It's not a justification for what he did. But the fact of the matter is this, if people are not gonna vote merely because this was captured on a hot mic, then they should never vote for any candidate because many of them have said things that never made it to the light of day that were equally disgusting and troubling. Gary? Well, friends, we'll go to Gary after the break. When we come back, we're going to get more response from national religious leaders about this. And then we're going to do some analysis of the debate itself last night. You're listening to Stand in the Gap today.
This is your host, Sam Rohr. When it comes to financial stewardship, wills, and tax estate planning, you can trust the Life Financial Group, one of our Stand in the Gap Today radio sponsors. The Life Financial Group has worked alongside believers across America for nearly 40 years, providing counsel and biblical direction to Christians so they can provide for their families and leave a legacy of significance. Call the Life Financial Group today at 800-688-5800 for a free copy of Protecting Yourself from Fraud. That's 800-688-5800.
I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. Thomas Jefferson, 1800.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr.
Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit BJUPress.com. That's BJUPress.com.
A popular government without popular information or the means of acquiring it is but a prologue to a farce or a tragedy, or perhaps both. Knowledge will forever govern ignorance, and a people who mean to be their own governors must arm themselves with the power which knowledge gives. A quote from James Madison.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. It's October now, and Election Day, November 8th, is just around the corner and will be here before you know it. So today's the day to take care of a few things to make sure you're able and ready to cast an informed ballot on Tuesday, November 8th. First, if you're 18 or over and not registered to vote, do it now. The deadline is October 11th, and you can register online, in person, or by mail. Second, access our online Pennsylvania Voters Guide at pafamilyvoter.com to get a personalized voter's guide for the candidates on the ballot where you live and vote. That's pafamilyvoter.com. Third, order printed voter's guides to hand out at your church. Call us at 1-800-FAMILY-1 to place your order. Lastly, go to our website at pafamily.org to find out about how you can support our pro-family efforts by attending our Friends of the Family banquet in Hershey on Friday, October 21st. Again, if you have any questions, call 1-800-FAMILY-1.
The 15th Amendment, Section 1. The right of citizens of the United States to vote shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of race, color, or previous condition of servitude.
Your Family Matters with Carla DeDessi. Your Family Matters brings a biblical perspective to your child rearing. Author and radio personality Carla DeDessi challenges you to think critically about raising your children with a biblical perspective. You will learn techniques for strengthening and protecting your family. Using truth, love, and wisdom, she encourages purposeful parenting to fortify your family. Together, we can and will strengthen our families with things that matter. Carla is a conservative voice who loves God, her family, and America. Follow Carla at CarlaDeDessi.com.
Hi, this is Carla DeDessi, the host of Your Family Matters. I do hope that you join me every Friday morning at 8 o'clock as we discuss Your Family Matters, right here at 1180 WFYL.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Friends, welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today. This is Dave Kistler along with Gary Dull and Sam Rohrer, and we're going to be going to Gary here almost immediately. But what we're talking about today are the incredibly crude, very inappropriate comments that Donald Trump made that were revealed on Friday evening from all the way back in 2005. We're talking about 11 years ago. And friends, I want you to understand anything we say today should not in any way be interpreted as support for what he said or in any way an attempt to justify what he said. There is no justification for it. However, what we are trying to do is provide some leadership on this and answer the question, do these comments from 11 years ago disqualify Donald Trump from being president? In segment one, I shared with you some statements by some of our nation's top religious leaders. I want to share with you a statement made by Tony Perkins, who leads the Conservative Family Research Council. Friends, he did not back down at all from his personal support of Donald Trump after the revelation of these comments. In fact, Tony Perkins said, quote, "I have made clear my support for Donald Trump in the general election was never based upon shared values, but rather it's built upon shared concerns. And Perkins went on and cited issues like the Supreme Court, national security, religious freedom concerns. And then he said this: we are left with a choice of voting for the one who will do the least damage to our freedoms. Now, there are other national leaders such as Russell Moore, president of the Southern Baptist Convention's Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, who came out and made some very strong statements that would lead you to believe he is not going to support Trump. Albert Mohler did not say specifically that he would not support Trump in this general election, but he said, I'm humiliated by arguments about character that I'm hearing tonight from some evangelicals. And then Mohler said this, Lord, help us. And so, Gary, I want to go to you. I want to get your thoughts on this. I think Sam laid out at the end of segment one a very clear statement, but I want to get from you. You're a pastor. Gary, no doubt yesterday you had to answer questions about this very thing. What did you say?
Well, first of all, Dave, I agree 100% with what you said at the end of the last segment. And all we need to do is remember the names of Lyndon Johnson, John Kennedy, and of course, Bill Clinton, to know a little bit about what some of these men said, and not only said, but did, not only as they were in the presidency, but in some cases, even in the Oval Office. And I think Donald Trump brought that out last night. He said what he said are words, but others have done greater things. Now, again, in no way, shape, or form, no way, shape, or form, can we go along with that kind of language. We cannot explain it away. We cannot spin it. It's wrong. It's sinful. It's godless. But the point that I made to several people yesterday is this. Anybody who is alive today and who is honest realizes that that is the talk of godless people. And whether you are talking about men or women, that's the talk of godless people. And what concerns me greatly is that you've got a lot of hypocrites out there. Some of those hypocrites are in the media. Some of those hypocrites are even in the church. Some of those hypocrites are scattered everywhere. And they'll say, oh, that's terrible what Donald Trump said. Well, I want to tell you something, fellas. I have been in the midst of men listening to them talk. And again, not endorsing or I cannot agree with anything that Donald Trump said in that statement or in that audio. But here's the point. A lot of what I have heard people say, men say, and from what I've been told that some women say, almost what Donald said could have been a Sunday school lesson. Now, don't get me wrong. It was detestable. It was deplorable. But I'm afraid that right now what we are seeing all across this nation is nothing but a lot of hypocrisy. Now, having said that, there are two particular facts that I want to make. Number one, I was so very disappointed over what I heard Donald Trump say that emotionally it bothered me. I had to preach on Sunday, and it distracted my focus on the message that I was developing for yesterday morning. We started revival services at our church last night, so I was glad for that. But here's the point. What this shows us, Dave and Sam, is that we need character in leadership. It also shows us, we've talked about this at the American Pastors Network, we have what is referred to as a ministers together ministry. And many times in our churches, as pastors, we pray that people will surrender to full-time vocational ministry. And we should. But I am reminded that as pastors and people in local churches, we need to pray that good, solid, biblically-minded people will be raised up by God to run for office from the school board to the presidency of the United States of America. May this be a lesson for us to pray that God would raise up solid, biblically Christian character for every level of elected office. That's one point. The second point I want to make is that we need to keep in mind that it's the principle of the policy of the platform that we must look at. When you compare the Democratic platform with the Republican platform, you can see very clearly that the Democratic platform is godless, antichrist, and anti-biblical, whereas the planks on the Republican platform are very biblical. At least 90% of them are. And so this is not a time for Christians to say, I'm not going to vote. This is not a time for Christians to say, well, I'm just giving up on the whole political process. No, 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 no. This is the time for Christians to go and vote biblically, vote policy, vote platform. And right now, we've got to enhance our desire to go to the voting booth more than ever before in the history of our nation and vote biblically.
Sam, I want to go to you because I think Gary brings up a very excellent point. And let me set it up by wording it this way. The statements that Trump made are absolutely indefensible. They're deplorable. They're disgusting. In fact, I'll be honest with you, when I heard them, it made my stomach upset. It really did, guys. It was just so disappointing. But it was 11 years ago. Now, please don't take what I'm saying here as a justification for what he said. But Sam, the facts of the matter are these. It was 11 years ago. And Gary made a comment about this Ministers Together initiative that we have with the American Pastors Network that tries to connect our pastors with our elected officials so that there is this ongoing influence for righteousness coming from the pastor to the elected official. We know that Donald Trump, Sam, has around him a spiritual advisory council. And this may be a great time in your answer to my question that's upcoming to state. We're going to have one of those members, a very prominent member, on with us tomorrow. But around him are a great group of people. I mean, highly respected people that are giving him advice. He also chose as his VP pick a man with impeccable integrity. I am preaching in Indiana this week. The people here love Mike Pence. He is a man of impeccable integrity and very eminently qualified, should something happen to the man at the top, to be president of the United States. Does that not, or should that not, Sam, all factor into those who are thinking, maybe now I'm just so frustrated I won't vote at all? Because I think it should.
Dave, I believe that it does. And that's why in my first comment in the first segment, I say all of this is important analysis, but if we're not careful, it becomes clutter. It becomes distractions. Not distractions. Don't bear with, not that we don't look at these things. We must. But gentlemen, as I said, we do walk back and do must, and we must say, all right. Is my angst as an individual, and really the people who have the greatest concern about what was said are those, they're on two standpoints. One, they're the political hypocrites, the media, the Hillarys, the Bills, all of them who raise this as a political stunt, who in their lives, Dave and Gary, embrace actions. A same-sex marriage, transgenderism, abortion, killing of our babies. They embrace a gutting of our Constitution. They embrace everything that breaks down the family. They embrace all of those issues, yet they point their finger at this and say, aha. Now, there's two points here. One, are they the moral standard? No, the answer is not, because they embrace and support everything that's opposed to it. But they know that it will go and speak to the hearts of those who do have moral understandings. Those are evangelicals. They are Christians. They are people who say, I know who Christ is, because they want to do one or two things. And those people, is my interest, Dave and Gary, what are those people? What are the Christians? What are those with moral sensitivities? How do we respond to this? There's only one or two ways. We either say with cynicism, I want nothing to do with this system and I am going to stay home, or I am going to say, this is a definition and a pronouncement of the sinfulness and the depravity of all mankind, of which Donald Trump is one. But frankly, so are all of we. And look and say, what is God saying to our nation? What is the state of the condition of our nation? Is God surprised by the sinfulness of the wicked, of the evil, of the sinful? No. But what is God upset for, really? He's upset at his people, God's people, who embrace idolatry, who embrace trusting in something else other than God. And Dave, I think this is where we need to pivot and say this is a spiritual need. We should address this and say, look inside at the people of God and say, what is in my heart and have I repented and on my knees going back to God?
Sam, again, excellent comments. And friends, we have callers on the line we're going to get to. So if you've called in, hold on, because we're going to transition in segments 3 and 4 and talk a little bit about the debate last evening and what took place there. Some stunning, stunning things. You're not going to want to miss it. You're listening to Stand in the Gap today. This is Dave Kistler, Gary Dahl, Sam Rohr. Join us after this very brief timeout.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Pam Puso. He's not yanking his support, but House Speaker Paul Ryan says he won't defend Donald Trump nor campaign with him. In a conference call, the speaker urging rank-and-file members to do what's best for their districts in the wake of the tape where Trump makes lewd comments about women.
If you read between the lines of what the speaker is basically saying here, it's that, you know, if Hillary Clinton's going to be elected, he's kind of conceding the presidency. We have to do all we can to protect our majority to make sure that she doesn't have a blank check.
Fox's Chad Pergram on Capitol Hill, Clinton seizing on the GOP defections during last night's debate in St. Louis.
Okay, Donald, I know you're into big diversion tonight, anything to avoid talking about your campaign and the way it's exploding and the way Republicans are leaving you.
Trump attacking Clinton over her emails, paid speeches, and her support for Obamacare. This is a Fox News alert.
WFYL.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
Just 2 days before Columbus sighted land, his men were on the verge of mutiny. They had sailed the longest voyage ever out of the sight of land and wanted to turn back. The entry in Columbus's journal, October 10, 1492, stated, "Here the people could stand it no longer and complained of the long voyage, but the admiral cheered them as best he could, holding out good hope of the advantages they would have. He added that it was useless to complain. He had come to the Indies and so had to continue until he found them with the help of our Lord."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap today.
Well, friends, last evening, the second of three presidential debates was held. And once again, the moderators were, in my opinion, more than moderators. In fact, gentlemen, I watched the clock, which happened to be, I think, maybe accidentally, but strategically placed over Hillary's head. And repeatedly, gentlemen, she was allowed to go overtime when Donald Trump was constantly interrupted immediately after he had reached his time limit. And as well, the moderators, who are Anderson Cooper and Martha Raddatz, frequently ran interference for Hillary and even debated with Donald when they did none of that with Hillary. Guys, there's a lot more substantive things we want to talk about with respect to the debate last night, but I thought we would start here. And if we still have our caller on the line, it's ironic that he called about this and wanted to talk about it. So if Mac is there, let's go to him. Mac, welcome to Stand in the Gap today.
Well, praise God, Brother Dave, and all of you for the great job you do. Long time. Yeah, there are two prominent things. First is a statement of fact that I'm. You just nailed it, Dave. Sal, every one of these debates is always moderated by a team that favors Hillary. It would be interesting. I would love to have a debate that would have maybe you, Sam Rohr, maybe Aaron Klein, Michael Savage, Phil Ballantyne have a debate like that, and she would get blown out of the water. But it's always stacked against the conservative. It's always walking into an ambush. That's the first point. The second point is a little humor. For Hillary to point at Donald Trump for what he did is comparing someone who's covered in excrement criticizing someone else who just got out of the shower.
You know, that's an interesting way to describe it, Mac, and I think your points are phenomenally well made. Sam, let me go to you, because I think Mac's bringing up something that we really need to discuss here, and that is the objectivity issue in his first point. You watched the debate, Sam. I watched the debate. Gary watched the debate. I've given my assessment here to set up this segment. It appeared at times, and Donald Trump even noted it, that it was a 3-on-1 debate. Hillary, Anderson Cooper, and Martha Raddatz against him. Do you think Trump has, as Mac has said, a legitimate complaint?
I think he does, and I'll say that for a couple of reasons. Number one, anybody who was following did note that they did grant Hillary far more opportunities to go over the 2-minute time than they did for Trump. They did intercede and really tried to get very controversial and actually debate themselves with Trump. I was really upset, particularly close to the beginning, at their behavior. Actually, it was all the way through. Now, frankly, the redeeming thing was is that by and large, the questions that came from the audience, which I always and I believe that they coached that audience too, but the questions that came from the audience did allow for a range of questions that I thought was redeeming and helpful and were kind of spread out there. But Dave, as Max said, I think anyone who's ever been a part of the political process and know how the manipulative left works, they really can't exist without manipulating the process somehow, because for them, their reality is not based on truth. For those of us, and I've seen this in debates personally. I know, and I've talked to people who've been a part of debates in settings. The other side seems to have the answers ahead of time. They've somehow there's an approachment where they know what the questions are, and it's not shared. I say this because of this reason, Dave. We as believers are confident that truth will prevail. We believe, conservatives generally believe, Christian conservatives, Judeo-Christian believers believe that when you tell the truth, truth will prevail. We believe that because the Bible says that. The other side that rejects truth, they know that they cannot allow their statements to prevail, so they have to fix the system. They have to manipulate the people. They have to massage the content somehow, some way, so as to control the output. That's what I think is the real discussion here at hand.
Gary, let me come to you. Last night in the debate, to me, Trump appeared confident but not cocky. He appeared to be very well prepared. He kept the attack on Hillary after the first 10 minutes, whenever the issue of the comments that surfaced from 2005, after he answered that and that was dealt with, which I think he did, an admirable job addressing that. You know, he said, I have apologized to my family, to the American people. It was totally inappropriate. It was wrong. I mean, he used all of that terminology. And then from there, he began to turn everything and keep the attack on Hillary, which obviously did not take place in the very first debate. But at the same time, Gary, he did not appear in any way really defensive. So I guess what I'm saying was he was authoritative, but not arrogant. I would love to have your thoughts on what you saw in the debate last night.
Well, I agree with that 100%. I do. I mean, I thought that he was presidential, to be honest. And I felt that it did quite well. I mean, as it goes, if you're going to ask the question, who won the debate, I would say that Donald Trump won the debate. And I think he was substantive. I think he was presidential. I think he was in control. And I do think that, as it were, the decks were stacked. The deck was stacked against him. And particularly with Martha Raddatz, I didn't feel as though Anderson Cooper was as bad as Martha was. But it was Martha that actually got into a debate with Donald. And that certainly is not the responsibility or the place for those who are to be those doing the questioning. And so, you know, I felt that Donald was very confident. I felt that he was prepared for the debate. And then, you know, he did apologize. And I think I might have mentioned this in the last segment. But Hillary kept coming back to him and saying, "You have not apologized. You don't apologize for anything." Just listen, play the tape back, folks, if you want. Right up front, Donald Trump apologized for what he said. She, Hillary, did not use the words, "I apologize," for anything that was brought up last night, even when it came time for her to try to defend the email situation and so forth and so on. So, you know, you talk about hypocrisy. Hypocrisy was there. And I want to say one other thing, and that is we realize, and Sam, you can confirm this, because this came up in a discussion that we had the other day, that right now, and this has been the case ever since Donald has been running, that he has traveling with him a pastor or a spiritual leader everywhere he goes. Does he not, Sam? This was the word that was given to us the other day, which means that the Donald Trump that we have today is different than the Donald Trump of 11 years ago. And if he is getting spiritual advice by pastors and spiritual leaders every day as he is traveling across this country, that gives me hope. We need to pray that that finds lodging in his heart.
Well, Sam, I want to go to you, and you can follow up and respond to Gary's statement there about the spiritual leader or a pastor traveling with him. We do know he has around him this outstanding group of people made up of Michelle Bachmann, made up of others like David Jeremiah, Pastor Robert Jeffries. I mean, people that are very well respected for their walk with the Lord and their wisdom. But I want to go to you, Sam, and ask you this. What was very, I guess, troubling to me last night was that when Donald turned the discussion toward Hillary and talked about the things that Bill, not that Bill had said, but the things that Bill Clinton did in the Oval Office while he was president, things Bill Clinton did while he was running for office, while he was governor in Arkansas, these innumerable actions that Bill Clinton committed with respect to women that are absolutely, guys, I'll just say it, they are criminal felony offenses if he were to be convicted of these. These actions, Sam, were not one time answered by Hillary. She didn't say, you know, "Yes, my husband did wrong." As Gary was saying, she didn't apologize for that and say, "But I stayed with my husband because I did it, you know, for my children. I did it because I felt it was right." There was no comment. I mean, it was stunning silence on Hillary's part with respect to any kind of defense against her husband. So it was almost a tacit admission that, yes, this is who my husband is. This is what he did, by her not saying anything. And then, Sam, I want to get your take on the fact that there were four women in that room seated on the front row, three of whom have accused Bill Clinton of either rape or unwanted, very unwanted sexual advances. And then the other woman was the woman that Hillary defended her attacker years ago, and even his own recording laughing about getting her attacker off. Sam, your thoughts on these things?
Well, Dave, they were there, and I think it is interesting that she did not respond, but she had nothing to say because her life has been all about defending them. And see, in some respects, I'm not surprised, but Donald could have gone further, frankly, by saying, these are demonstrations. The fact that you were an enabler to Bill Clinton, and here are these women, of which there are a whole lot more than those here, but you enabled him. You promoted this action. Dave, this is something that goes far beyond words, and this is what, if she becomes president, she will use the justice system to support and to defend the breaking of law and the harming of people. She's already done that.
Well, friends, we've got the phones lighting up. People wanting to ask questions, make comments. We're going to come to those following this brief timeout. We're talking about the debate last evening and the impact of it. Friends, don't miss this concluding segment. You're listening to Stand in the Gap today.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K-12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Remember, as Christians, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Ephesians 6:12.
This is your host, Sam Rohr. When it comes to financial stewardship, wills, and tax estate planning, you can trust the Life Financial Group, one of our Stand in the Gap Today radio sponsors. The Life Financial Group has worked alongside believers across America for nearly 40 years, providing counsel and biblical direction to Christians so they can provide for their families and leave a legacy of significance. Call the Life Financial Group today at 800-688-5800 for a free copy of Protecting Yourself from Fraud. That's 800-688-5800.
What is government itself but the greatest of all reflections upon human nature? If men were angels, no government would be necessary. If angels were to govern men, neither external nor internal controls on government would be necessary. A quote from James Madison.
Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School is an online public school for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Founded in 2004, our mission is to have a school where children can see the world, develop character, promote independence, and become lifelong learners. We teach our students to be leaders, thinkers, and scientists. They are taught to be logical and critical in thinking. Some of our classical teaching methods range from online class lectures to debates to Socratic teaching, which develops the art of speaking and writing. We encourage our students to be well-rounded by participating in sports, the arts, and their communities. Your child can benefit from this style of innovative education. Visit us at palcs.org or call 1-877-725-2785.
Hey, Grandma, could you help me with this Common Core lesson? I just can't get it. They are teaching us to use emotional words to get our way. In my Voices workbook, see this question? My mom always nags me or asks me to clean my room. I chose asks me, and it was wrong. They want me to say she nagged me, but I didn't think that was fair or nice. Why was I wrong?
Oh, honey, you were right. That isn't nice. These Common Core lessons are awful.
Get Common Core out of your state. If you made this your one and only project, you could change the country. Learn more about federal Common Core and Pennsylvania Core standards and call your representatives today. Ask them to stop the national takeover of education. Go to PARestoringEducation.org or call Richard at 484-678-2236. This message brought to you by Pennsylvanians Restoring Education.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, during the series of questions last evening that did come up about Hillary's emails, Donald Trump vowed, should he be elected president, to appoint a special prosecutor to reopen the email investigation that the FBI recently closed. Hillary, of course, defended herself over deleting the 33,000 emails. She called them personal emails and dealing with her yoga class. And then she said this, and I found it to be very, very interesting, and it elicited what I believe was probably the best line of the night. And that is this. She said it would be a mistake to have Donald Trump in charge of law enforcement, to which Donald responded, because you'd be in jail. And, of course, that lit up the Twitter universe and really has brought a lot of response. And I think, again, was probably the best line of the night. Now, guys, I want to come back to you and ask you a couple of questions. But again, today we don't normally take callers, but we've had a lot of people calling in and we have a caller on the line. John, are you there? And if you are, welcome to Stand in the Gap Today.
Yes, I am here. Gentlemen, I'm going to be straight up. My admonition to voters is go ahead, trash the nation, just don't vote and suffer the consequences. People just don't have the capacity to see ahead. Consequences have always been an issue without wisdom. From a biblical perspective, if he has accepted Christ or will accept Christ with Christian witness, his sins will be put as far as the east is from the west and remembered against him no more. Yes, a bunch of hypocrites, as Gary said, whose revelations will not be made because they are covered by the blood of Christ. Who would not be ashamed if everything was revealed?
You know, John, that is an excellent point. You know, there are every one of us in this room, maybe not the kind of language that Donald Trump used, but every one of us have something in our past that we would not want to ever come out before the public. And again, folks, we're trying to help you understand this was 11 years ago. Has Donald Trump changed? Has what John just shared? There has been some things floating out there that Donald Trump may have made a profession of faith in Christ. We've not said a whole lot about that because we're just waiting to see. We're not wanting to jump on that and do so in a way that would in some way maybe ultimately harm the cause of Christ if it's not legitimate. But the fact of the matter is this, and Gary, I want to go to you on this. If Donald has, or should he in the future, considering the circle of outstanding believers that are around him. And Gary, I have no reason to doubt with the likes of Robert Jefferson, Michelle Bachmann, and David Jeremiah, and on I could go. I have no question whatsoever that these folks are sharing and living the gospel in front of Donald Trump. So I think what John is saying, factor that in. Those of you who are thinking about not voting, factor that in. This could be that for which many a believer has prayed for a long time.
Well, absolutely true, and I do appreciate John's statements there. And as you said, we've heard that Trump has trusted Christ as Savior. Is that definite? We do not know. But the influence of these individuals around him is great. And I think that what we are seeing today, and I'm talking about the spiritual influence of these spiritual advisors and leaders, and they're all top-notch, and they've got impeccable character. I think what we are seeing today is a major spiritual battle from the forces of hell to do everything possible to bring down the United States of America. Both of our candidates right now are very, very flawed. We know that. But if any one of them, if either one of them comes to Christ, their sins are separated from them as far as the east is from the west, as John said. But we do know, without a doubt, that Donald Trump is getting spiritual advice from these individuals, and therefore, number one, we need to pray that that spiritual advice will find lodging in his heart. And then secondly, we need to pray that a hedge of protection will be put around him as well as all of those spiritual leaders, that they might give the proper advice and that he would receive that advice. And keep in mind, as I said in the first segment, it's not so much that we are voting for Donald Trump anyway. It is that we are voting for a platform that is biblically based on Donald Trump's side. And that platform is diametrically opposed to the platform that the Democrats have put up on Hillary's side.
Gary, I want to follow up on what you said before I go to Sam and ask one very probing question. And then if we have time, I'm going to come back to you with the same question. What I have been telling people is this. It's exactly what you said, Gary. The platforms could not be more dramatically different. And the one platform on the GOP side, it's not just a conservative platform. It is a thoroughly biblical platform. And by the way, you can go and read both the Republican platform and the Democratic platform. One is 66 pages. The other is 55 pages. It does not take long to read it, and you can see for yourself. In fact, we challenge you to do that, to understand what we're talking about. The other thing is this, that to me is incredibly redemptive about Donald Trump, and that is his selection of Mike Pence. Mike Pence is not a perfect man, but he is a man of integrity. He is a man that is greatly respected in his state of Indiana, where he has served as governor and where he served as a representative in the United States Congress from this state. And of course, I am in this state this week, and the people here have great respect for him. So friends, you need to think about all these things if you're considering in your frustration not voting. Sam, I want to go to you. Last evening, as a result of Donald Trump's performance, there are some, in fact, there's a good number of those within the media that are suggesting that Donald successfully moved the discussion away from that 2005 video that came out on Friday. And my question to you is, did he do that by focusing on Bill's sexually predatory activity and issuing again an apology in front of a global audience? Did he successfully move the discussion away from those very inappropriate comments 11 years ago, or did he not?
Dave, I think if you look at the surveys that are coming in, Frank Lutz was doing an ongoing SOCUS group, and I've sat as a part of some of Frank Lutz's surveys in the past. He was actually, he does continual polling of a broad cross section of people. They're not all of one view, but polled them at different points throughout the debate when taxes came up, when foreign policy came up, when that issue came up, that kind of thing. And according to what he was showing, and generally it's been very, very accurate, it in fact shows that people were in fact moved by those comments on his part towards those issues on Hillary's part. The answer to that question would be, it appears to be the case, Dave. I only put out here, though, that we are in the midst of the greatest time of deception perhaps in the history of this world. We look and decipher and try to make sense out of these things. We must pray that God's Holy Spirit takes the matter of truth and burns it into the ears and the hearts of people. Strategies such as debates and all that kind of thing, they only go so far. If there is an attentiveness and a tuning to the truth, the hearing of the truth, it's because of the Holy Spirit is still here and still working in people's hearts. That's what I'm praying for, and I hope and pray that as we even talk on this program, that truth will go forth and find its root. It does appear, though, from those secular reportings that some of that perhaps in fact happened last night.
Sam, that is excellent, excellent admonition. And friends, I want to say this. I could not agree more with Sam and what he said. This is not just a contest between two candidates. This is not just a contest between Democrat and Republican. This is a contest going on in the higher realm between light and darkness, good and evil, right and wrong. And it is more than fitting that tomorrow we are going to have one of Donald Trump's top advisors, spiritual advisors, on the program. Don't miss it. We're going to take a 23-hour break, and we want you to join us again tomorrow on our next installment of Stand in the Gap Today. This is Dave Kistler, Gary Dahl, Sam Rohr. Hope you have a blessed afternoon.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
Broadcasting live from historic West Norriton Township, this is AM 1180. AM 1180. WFYL. King of